conversation. This is Herspiration Happy Hour.
Happy Wednesday and welcome to Herspiration Happy Hour Season 3. On another great Wednesday, on another great, just another day to be alive and being able to record with you ladies. How have you been? You know, so first of all, we've taken a summer hiatus, really. Yeah. How has you all's time off been?
Mine has been great. It's been extremely busy. Pam, you know, you and I are working on some things, so trying to get that out and everything, but it has been busy yet productive.
Okay. And you know what? I totally just forgot that, you know, people need to, you know, they tuned in a lot. We should probably tell people who we are. This is your unapologetic diva, Dr. G.
This is the girlfriend therapist, aka Cortina Peters.
And this is Louise Harrell, Radio Red. And my break has been pretty busy too, and productive. I've been doing a lot of filming and some writing, script writing and things like that. But while I have the floor, let me give you our drinks since we're going to be talking about a couple of things. Our drinks tonight are Sassy Frass, a little spicy. It's tequila, triple sack, agave nectar, lime juice, and jalapeno slices. You combine all ingredients and shake well, serve over ice, and garnish with a jalapeno wheel. Oh. And our mocktail to this cocktail is called Smooth Moves. So, like a smooth criminal, but Smooth Moves.
You know what's the name of the mocktail tea?
Huh.
I said, you also know that's the name of a laxative tea, isn't it? Like Smooth Moves.
Oh, it is. It really is. Okay, well, I might have to adjust the name of that, but this is not trying to send you to the bathroom. This is trying to have you to cool out. So so maybe Cool Moves then.
Yeah.
Simply limeade, cucumber slices, fresh mint, and lime slices. So you place the fresh mint and cucumbers in the glass and muddle it and add ice and pour the Simply Limeade over top and garnish with a lime wedge.
Okay.
Interesting. Okay.
So we were talking about, you know, just the summer break and that we've been able to take. And I tell you, I think I don't even feel like I really had a break, you know, between working and constant PR stuff and, you know, my other company that I write content for is like really, really, really booming right now.
Yeah, you've been busy. You guys have been busy.
I've been extremely busy, but I also, you know, briefly want to talk about this, the honor that I had when I was doing the interviews for the Summer Awards. And that opportunity was absolutely amazing. I did a one-on-one with Corinne Hawthorne, and even before then, we did like this massive Skype with tons of the nominees and quite a bit of nominees and of the host and, you know, the creator, and it was just absolutely hilarious. It was rewarding, but it was hilarious. So that was pretty much my summer. It's just been really, really busy, but I'm kind of happy that it's over. You know, lots of different tragedies have taken place, but, you know, we're alive, breathing, and so, you know, this is Wednesday. It's time to have some drinks and have some great conversation. So what are we talking about today?
Yeah. We're talking about compliment versus insult. Assertive mad black woman or nah?
Oh, my God. So who wants to get started with it?
Well, I will. As a therapist, it's funny how you see individuals who are very passionate, but it gets misconstrued as being angry. So a lot of times women, when they are speaking, they're coming from a place of passion, and a lot of times people don't know how to interpret what is not anger, because it's not anger, it's just coming from a place of passion. So I think that oftentimes black women get a bad rep for being angry when it's really passion. You don't necessarily hear people walking around saying angry white woman. Those might be replaced with Karens, but you don't hear people saying angry white woman. And that's just because they don't get the negative label that Black women get, because anyone would be crazy to think that white women don't get upset also, but it's labeled differently or it's not labeled at all. And so particularly in corporate America, in work, in business, individuals don't know how to separate just a woman being upset from that label, angry Black woman, when we try to express ourselves or get our points across. And we may not even be angry. It's still labeled as such, like we're supposed to just be wallpaper on the wall and say nothing. So this is something I know, Pam, you and I were talking about this, and this is something I think that needs to be said, a conversation about labeling Black women as angry when they try to correct you on things. I think it's something that needs to be discussed and talked about.
I definitely agree. And, you know, this topic really came about in such a quirky way because I had someone hit me in the DM, a bishop, I'm going to call him out, to Ray Ross, because, you know, don't come in my DM for me if you ain't ready for it. And he claimed he gave me a comment that said, "You so pretty, you're, you know, not your, you know, for someone who had two doctors, you're so pretty, you have to be a wife." And I don't know. I did not take this as a compliment. I didn't necessarily shrug it off, but I am about correction. So I just let him know that I don't have to be a wife, you know, I don't have to be a wife, and that pretty is not what makes a wife. Character does, you know. And from there, it went left really fast, because he decided that he called me after I corrected him and let him know that was not a compliment and that it was an immature judgment to make. He called me a mad Black woman. And I thought to myself, and I also put, I didn't care that he was a bishop, LMFO, laughing my ass, or LMFA or whatever, laughing my ass off, because I just thought to myself, how can I be angry because of a compliment that you gave? And all I was trying to do was just let you know that that is not a compliment. You know, just saying that someone is beautiful or pretty is one thing. Saying that I'm that beautiful, I have to be a wife, is a whole different thing. That goes from compliment to insult. And I found it to be very immature. Because one, I'm a woman, and I always tell people, I hate the word pretty. I really do. I feel like dogs are pretty, babies are pretty. A woman, it should be beautiful. So if you really want to get technical about that, I have a lot of things that I really... You know, it takes a lot for me to even become angry, but correcting someone because they feel like they have two doctors, they can barely spell, we can get started with that too, don't come for me in my DM and expect me not to say anything back. Because one thing I do, and I don't know, Cortina, if you do as a public figure, you know, I do connect with people, you know, all the time. I don't want people to think that I'm not human. So if you hit me in my DM, I'm going to say thank you to something or something nice. As long as you are not being disrespectful, I will ignore it. I will just be like, you know, thank you. I have some people just say, just want to tell you good morning, or just want to tell you, you know, I love your message. You're absolutely beautiful. Keep up the good work. And it's not in a way that is a pursuit. It's not in a way that's pursuing. And so to me, those are the ones that, you can at least say thank you. So when I saw that, I was like, what? And then I remember, Christine, I read it to you, and you was like, wait, what? Mad. You must be a mad Black woman is what he actually called me. And then he told me that I couldn't correct him. But you know what I also told him? Thank you for the next topic of my podcast. And you got it.
Right. I mean, when you read that to me, I was like, he can't be serious, but I'm pretty sure he was serious. Because if I'm telling you, and I shared this with you, Pam, yesterday, everybody doesn't aspire, one, to be married. And I think that he is projecting his thought of what gender roles are to be, because mm-hmm. that takes me back to the 50s and 60s where women are only supposed to be a wife. Like, that's an accomplishment just for me to be a wife. And it's like, no. I may not even want to be married, or I may not want to be married to a man, but to a woman, you know? And so it's almost like he could not disconnect how what he was saying could be taken offensive, and to some people is offensive. But then to further that, he could not accept correction from a woman, which further sends me the message that he's stuck in those gender roles, that I'm supposed to be seen as beautiful and not heard and not have a voice to be able to respond to his misperception of who I am as a woman.
So he's supposed to be a trophy, basically.
Right. Right.
I mean, but his response was just clearly that when you talk about being angry, I apparently got under his skin, because his response when I let him know that it wasn't a compliment, you know, he said, it's a compliment. I know what makes a wife. I'm a man, an intelligent one, 2 doctorates. Oh, I was like, oh, really? You really want to go there? So I just politely wrote back. That, sir, was not a compliment. That is an immature judgment. And being a man with 2 doctorates means nothing if you cannot understand the difference between a compliment and an insult. I am by no means being offensive, but you should never say that to women and think that that comes off as a compliment.
Well, and for those... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, but then he went on to say, my apologies if you thought it was an insult. In your mind, your perception is different. If some say you must be a wife, if you don't understand, you could be a mad black woman. First of all, buddy, I barely understood to get through that sentence, holding 2 doctorates. You might want to go back to school. Yes, I said it, and yes, I'm calling them out. And that's when I just had to put, LMAO, are you serious? Mad about what? Correcting you? Clearly, you have an issue with an educated woman assertively educating you on comment etiquette. And then he told me I can't correct him. And that's when I wrote, thank you for just, I said, thank you for just giving me the next topic on my podcast. You are funny. So I just think that if anyone, I feel like, got upset, it was not me.
Clearly it wasn't.
Well, I actually looked up the definition of compliment and insult for those who do not understand what it means and how to use it. So a compliment is a polite expression of praise or adoration, an act or circumstance that implies praise or respect. An insult is speak to or treat with disrespect or scornful abuse, or a disrespectful or scornfully abusive remark or action. And I'm trying to figure out, you know, you don't know how people will take things. You don't know where they are mentally or emotionally or how they view things. So you can't say that a person shouldn't be offended or you didn't insult them because you're not them. And of course you have your whole different persona or perception of what he said. And if it offended you, he should have apologized. Mm-hmm. You can't just say,
offended me. I just let him know that that was not a compliment.
Right. You should have said, oh, I didn't mean to take for you to take it that way. I was just saying this. But instead, he got upset and, you know, tried to correct you.
Mm-hmm. That's the point of him throwing up 2 doctorates was supposed to make it different on what he had to say. And that, to me, is such a man, is that you want to have your ego sit out there and think that that's not going to get slapped down. Because that's exactly what happened.
Well, a man doesn't have to prove himself.
Correct. I mean, and my thing is, one of the things I do hate is don't flaunt your education and think that that is going to fly. I mean, first of all, he might want to look at the initial that's in front of my name on my page. You're talking to an intelligent woman. So, no, I don't take someone saying, oh, you're so pretty, you must be a wife. We are not in, as you say, 14, I'm not back in the 1800s or 1900s or whatnot, that where women didn't have a voice. I have a
correct
voice, loud one, and me being considered mad is such a stereotype because I'm correcting him. And in my book, I've had that same very conversation, is that a woman can be sitting at a bar minding her business and decline the offer from a man, and it's always, why you mad? Why do I have to be mad because I'm choosing not to show an interest? Mm-hmm. Those kind of things bother me, but we're the first people that you're the mad black woman or you're an angry black woman. That's why I don't deal with black women. And half the time, we're not even angry.
They just take it as such. So like when he had, to me, I feel like when he threw up those, oh, well, I have these degrees, that he's trying to overcompensate for insecurities that he mm-hmm. has inside of him. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you highlighted those insecurities because subconsciously he probably himself doesn't feel like he's worthy. So when he was corrected, guess what? It pulled the Band-Aid and exposed to him his own internal insecurities. And so basically he had an adult tantrum and felt like he tried to get back at you, but it didn't work.
She said an adult tantrum.
Yeah,
I see that a lot.
Oh my gosh. So then let's talk about what that really looks like for our culture. I mean, I think that is essentially when we talk about black women and changing the narrative of how we are seen. How do we get to that point where we can assertively state how we feel without having to mess with anyone's ego or rip that Band-Aid off?
So personally, I don't think that it's our job to do anything differently. I think it's their job, because if you are interpreting the way that I am being when I am not doing anything except being a human, I'm not intentionally being angry, that's just the way you're interpreting what I'm saying to you, that's your job. That's not my responsibility to fix. Now, I can educate you a little bit, but ultimately that's your job to do your own internal work to figure out why you are interpreting my behavior as angry. What has given you the message or the script to define me as a black woman as angry? Because if a white woman would have said the same thing, would you have labeled her as angry? So what gives you the right to label me as angry?
Yeah.
And also, I think there has to be a space for open communication and to allow clarity to happen, because he was, once you said something to him, it was totally a wall up. He's like, oh, okay, whatever. But in order for things to happen and people to understand that, because we are always looked at a certain way, in a certain angle, of course it's going to be automatic. You're mad, you're angry. No, I'm not angry, but you're not listening either.
Yeah.
If you took the time to listen and understand what I'm saying and stop trying to automatically assume that I'm getting ready to come at you with a knife, yes, you know, or, you know, it will be okay. And that too goes too with men, because I think a lot of men do that because they don't have the space to speak either. But instead of, you know, them giving us the same respect that they want, they do the same thing to us. So it's like hurt people. And it's a cycle.
Another thing is, I think that because they're conditioned to think that black women are angry, anything that resembles something that could be angry, oh, yep, there it is. There's that angry black woman, because that's their expectation. They expect for us to be angry. And so anything that resembles what their definition of anger or angry is, that's what they're going to call it, when it's not necessarily anger or us being angry.
So what do you think is conditioning? In what ways and where are they getting conditioned from?
Growing up, society, TV, media, radio, any external stimulation or social platform that is feeding this ridiculous narrative that black women are angry. But you know what? On the flip side of that, we do have stuff to be angry about. If we are angry, you have to look at all of the stuff that's taking place. So yeah, I'm not saying in the way that we respond, but it's not like we're not justified in us also being angry. There's a lot of stuff that's happening to our black men, so we're angry about that. It's a lot of stuff that's happening in society that we have a right to be angry about. It's a lot of systemic oppression that's happening in our jobs and in careers, and we feel like we don't have a place or the space to voice our opinions. That can make us angry because we're internalizing and having to hold on and cold switch when we go to work because we don't want to be too unprofessional. I can't wear my natural natural hair because to you, you consider it as unprofessional. However, this is what grows out of my scalp. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of different things that also add to us as Black women that people may internalize again as us being angry, but sometimes we have stuff to be angry about. Has anybody ever thought about that? Has anyone ever looked at that? Okay, well, if I feel that she's angry, let me ask her. Because if I'm interpreting this as she's angry, let me ask a little bit to see if it's anger or is it disappointment? Is it tiredness? Is it that she's just exhausted and it may be coming out in a different way? So it may not necessarily even be that she's trying to respond aggressively or angry, mm-hmm. but she's just dealing with everything that she's carrying.
All that stems from hurt. Anger stems from being hurt. And it wouldn't be called anger if they go ahead and go to the root of the problem that you are in pain. You're hurting. And that needs to be dealt with.
I always talk about the anger tree. So the angry tree, like with everybody visualize a tree. So at the top of the tree, you have the limbs and the branches and the bushes and the leaves. That's anger. So everything that we see on the outside is anger. Mm-hmm. So when you go down to the base and the root of the tree, all anger, like you said, Louisa, is rooted in fear or pain. Mm-hmm. So even when we look at, you know, white nationalists, they're afraid that their superiority is going to be ripped from them. That's why they're angry. When we talk about us being Black women and we appear to be angry, like you said, go to the root. Is it fear or is it pain? We're hurting. We have a lot of stuff to be hurt about. There's a lot of stuff that still has not been healed. And I think one of the things that we're doing, Pam, the Girlfriend Heal Conference will address a lot of these issues that we're talking about that us as Black women are carrying daily, day in and day out. And where's our safe space to truly talk about the stuff that we're carrying? Because maybe I won't take it to my mate because they might not accept it. They might not understand it. They just be like, oh, she's complaining. She's whining. I don't want to hear about Becky on the job or what have you. And then our girlfriends, they know exactly what we're talking about because they're feeling the same thing. But where's the therapeutic or the compassionate space for us to just be us and society embrace what we're feeling without villainizing who we are as women? And y'all know I get real passionate when I start talking about the stuff.
Look, I was the same way about a lot of things. I feel you on 100%. I'm like, you get it, girl. I am normally extremely passionate about things, but I'm letting you have this floor. Oh my gosh.
Because, you know, and like I talk about also, you know, this stigma where we talk about being strong. And I think sometimes we as women, we have to check ourselves as well. Mm-hmm. Because when we go around saying, I don't need this, I don't need that, I don't want that. But no one can do everything by themselves. I think it's important to have a community of girlfriends who are also healing and doing the same thing that you are doing. I think it's equally important to have male friends and counterparts and partners that you can bounce off of so that they can learn from you and you can learn from them. I think cohesion as a family, and when I'm talking about family, I'm not just talking about blood. I'm talking about anybody who you consider in your family unit. I think the more we communicate, the more we share, the more open and honest and vulnerable we are about our needs, the more understanding will be developed amongst everybody. And so I think those are important things that we need to keep in mind when we're just trying to help people to understand what it means to be a Black woman. We're not always angry, but you label it. Now, you labeling us as Black women may make us angry because it's like, no, that's, I'm not, no, you're getting it wrong. And so you're mistitling or mislabeling what you're seeing from me. So for example, when I was an administrator, I would have to go into the group sometime. For those of you who don't know, I was an administrator of an inpatient substance abuse facility. And so I had this one patient, a therapist came and told me that she was on the phone with her mom and said that this Black woman came in there and she was yelling at us. And so the therapist had to tell the mom, no, she's not being serious, but she was a Caucasian patient. And so I started making a disclaimer before I would speak. I would say, my voice is very commanding. I don't have a soft, timid voice. So when I'm speaking to you, I'm not speaking to you from a place of anger. I'm speaking to you from a place of power. So mm-hmm. I don't want you to mix up my power and my passion and label it as me being angry. And so it was so funny. It was so funny that some of the patients would laugh and be like, Miss Cortina, we just know that's who you are. Like, you have, I mean, you exude confidence. And some people can't take that, or mm-hmm. they are intimidated by it. But if you are intimidated mm-hmm. by my presence, that is not my problem.
Mm-hmm. Right?
That's yours.
But you also should not have to, as I say, dummy yourself down to make mm-hmm. people feel good. You shouldn't have to strip your voice to make someone else feel good. You know, you should not have to, you know, allow people to feel inferior because of their own egos or mm-hmm. their own jealousies or their lack of, you know, confidence. You can't change that in people. And so to me, I'm not going to put myself in those places where I'm going to allow you to have that kind of leverage over me. Because you like me for who I am, you know, or you don't. I'm not going to change that about me. And like, I hear it all the time. People would say, you have to talk like that and use all those big words. And I'm thinking to myself, I didn't realize I was using big words, but perhaps you should kind of start reading more or expanding your vocabulary.
Right.
Because I'm not going to change who I am. It's not like I'm sitting here making up words just to have a conversation mm-hmm. to make myself look bigger.
Right.
Or to make myself look inferior. That's or superior. That's not who I am. But if people take that and that's what they think, that's an inner problem that they have to fix and work on themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. I want to go back to what Cortina said about us as Black women and those capes. We sometimes create those titles because, like you said, we say we don't need, we don't want, we don't, because we are operating in fear of what we need won't get done or what we need won't get if we don't necessarily do it. So sometimes we do walk around with that poster on our faces. Sometimes we do walk around, you know, exuding, you know, not anger, but like, just, I don't need it. Or I just don't.
Like, you just have it all together all the time.
Yeah. And then that leaves us in a vulnerable state, you know, because we don't always have it together.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
we need help sometimes. And that leaves us in a position to be by ourselves because we push everybody away and they don't really understand that it's not that we want to push you away. It's just that I feel sometimes you feel alone and you just want to do everything on your own because you don't feel like you have somebody to help you. You don't feel like you have that person you can talk to. And a lot of these things we're going to have to work on ourselves. Mm-hmm. And just like you said, you know, we can't help what you think about me or, you know, what you say, but I can help what I do for me. And once you start to change yourself and start to look on what's inside yourself, you will show different. And once we learn to accept help and once we learn to, you know, accept the things that we really think that no one can offer us, it'll change. But and as far as the mental, you know, we need each other. We do need each other. And they have to do the same thing. They have to heal, too, because to be honest, we have to create our safe space. We have to create it.
Agree. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things you said, Cortina, is about having a community of people that you can trust and release your thoughts to, or be able to express, you know, your pain to. I think Cortina, a few weeks ago, I was just like over it. I was like over it. I had had my fill. I was like, look, I just wanted to cry. I was frustrated. I was going through a lot of stress. And I actually text Cortina, and what did I say to you? I am not okay.
Yeah.
Exactly what I texted her, and it was late. And all I did was text her. She texted me back. She was like, "What's wrong?" And then we talked, and I just was like, the tears and the just overwhelming feelings that I had. And even the next day, I just had me a good cry. But I felt like I needed that just to know that, whether I said something or I said nothing, even during most of that day, I looked like a very strong individual. But in that moment, it was like I reflected and was like, no, I'm not okay. I need to let someone who can understand and knows me that I can just say, look, I'm not okay. You know, I'm not okay at all. And I think, did we have a call that day?
Yeah, we did. Because I was going to say, I think it was like 2 weeks before that, I was got the first person that came to my mind. I'm calling Pam because, you know, I was having my meltdown.
Yes, you are.
She had to talk me off the ledge. But it's good to be able to have that, because when you can reach out to somebody and they listen to you, but they also are able to say, all right, you might be overreacting, be honest with you and be like, okay, you know, that's like not reality. You just can't
sometimes
run away.
That voice of reason.
Yes. You have to come on, therapist, let's get it together. The therapist needed a therapist in that moment.
And that's okay. That's okay.
Right.
You know?
And I was able to be emotional and cry and like really express how I was feeling or how I was made to feel in that moment. And it felt good to know that my prayer for everybody is that they have somebody that they can talk to without fear of judgment or without fear of it being used against them at a later time. So I think that is something that is amazing, that I hope that everybody at some point will be able to have an experience for themselves. Because, you know, Louisa, I'm pretty sure sometimes you want to go into a little closet, especially with having kids and stuff that's going on, and you don't have somebody to talk to. Because I can talk to my daughter, but I don't want to talk to her. I can't talk to her about grown folks stuff. I can talk to her about TikTok. I can talk to her about what's going on in her school. But when I need to talk, I need another adult who could, you know, talk me through it and let me feel hurt without giving me their opinion. But then once I get all my cussing and fussing at, then they like, okay, let's think about this realistically. Okay.
Right.
What you're trying to do is not logical. We can't do that.
You know, I've been actually experiencing some things the past maybe week or so. And I didn't realize, you know, within my family, stuff is going on around me. It's not necessarily with me. Mm-hmm. But everybody, I'm the one that everybody runs and talks to and do this. And so, you know, I'm like, I had gotten to the point where I said, listen, y'all are going to have to deal with your problems by yourself because you don't listen. And I'm not going to keep on taking it in. But then also, in doing so, I also started dealing with some issues of my own that I didn't realize, you know, because I do a lot of self-reflection. And I'm dealing with, you know, coming out of a 20-year of knowing this person, 18 years together, you know what I'm saying, 14-year marriage. And so me going, reviewing what happened in that relationship, getting myself together, also reviewing and trying to heal from what happened prior to the relationship, I've been doing a lot of crying. So the other day, I was filming with another show and something happened and I got angry. I wasn't angry, but my feelings got hurt. And I don't understand why they got hurt. I mean, I knew understand why they got hurt, but it was like so out of nowhere. And I think it triggered something that may have happened to me before. And so I was a little upset. So when I was thinking about it yesterday, I was just laying around thinking about it. And I just cried and I cried and I cried and I cried. And once I got all of that out, I talked to my mother. And she, you know, like you said, you know, she gave me another perspective. Well, she was, you know, helping me with clarity. And that did help me come to a little bit more understanding of what I, you know, why that happened or what I needed to do. And usually once I cry it out and I talk to myself or I talk to somebody else, I'm good, you know. But a lot of times we just have to release. And it probably was a combination of everybody else on top of my little thing, you know. And I just had to let it go. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you had that introspection to be able to look at that, because oftentimes we don't have the ability to look at ourselves to say, whoa, wait a minute. let me take a chill pill here. Let me take a break because something is happening. And when we don't take the opportunity to listen to our bodies, that's when we begin to act off of impulse because we're unclear because we got so much stuff going on. So we can't make clear decisions. So really being able to take time for yourself so that you can make appropriate decisions and adjustments that you need to make for you is something that all women need to start doing if you're not already doing it. Take that time to listen to your body and to listen to you and to figure out what it is that you need to do. Clear your mind, clear your space, do some grounding, do some self-reflection and meditation and centering activities to help you be able to hear what's going on inside of you.
And that's very important. And be honest with yourself because we lie to ourselves so much because we don't want to see that. We don't want to look in that mirror. We don't want to see that ugly. And it's important to look ugly. You got to look at that ugly in order to clean it up. You know, I'll go in my closet in a minute.
Now, I also tell women that, or people, period. You know, I hear people say, you know, I'm at a loss of words. I'm not sure how I feel. And it's not even about having the words to find out how you feel. Just be in that moment. You know, live in that space of whatever it is that you cannot feel, just still release that. I mean, all the time, it's like, I have no idea where it's coming from, but where it's coming from shouldn't matter. Letting it go and confronting it is what really matters. And so we have to be comfortable in that space of not being able to explain how we feel, but just being able to embrace those emotions and those feelings that our body is giving us. Because as Cortina said, that's your body's way of telling you, you need to focus. You need to meditate or change or do something different. But it's okay to live in that moment if you're unsure about how you feel. I mean, I feel like that's like, oh, I have no idea what's wrong, but I'm fine. I just feel like I need to get fried. So I just live in that moment. I live in that space, and this way teaches me how to heal, but it also teaches me how to just confront the things that my body is telling me.
And it's a perfect, it's healthy. It's healthy to do this. And people don't understand that, but that is a healthy way of dealing with yourself when you really are able to listen to yourself. And like you said, Pam, live in that moment. If you want to scream, go scream. If you want, you know, you need to cry, go cry. And like you go grounding, and a lot of people understand we have to reconnect with nature. That helps us. With a lot of, you know, that's very important. But I know sometimes you can't scream. And that's where we get in trouble, where you don't have that outlet. And you just swallow it and go on about your business. But all it's going to do is push down. And one day that cap is going to come off. And you're going to turn into this whole Hulk. And you don't know how it happened.
Where did this happen? When did I become Incredible Hulk?
Right. Talk it.
We gotta
give ourselves permission to free ourselves. We gotta give ourselves permission to feel. We cut off our emotions because of how we're viewed if we are emotional. We cut off our feelings because if we feel too much, somebody can hurt us. We have to allow ourselves to go through these processes because we are shutting our spirit down in doing so. You're losing who you are because you don't want people to see you. Let people see you. Some people need to see so they can see themselves. You know?
We have to free ourselves so we can free others.
It's so weird we're having this deep conversation about how not strong Black women are, and yet are, you know, how mad and angry people think we are. Like you say, Cortina, from the beginning, it's like we have rights to be, you know, depending on the condition around us, and just knowing that that's how people feel about us, but just being able to naturally have the same emotions as other people, we are heavily criticized. I mean, it's a double whammy for us. We're criticizing for expressing our feelings. We are criticized for not expressing our feelings. You know, it's like, damned if you do, damned if you don't. I either
double-edged sword. Like, what?
And hurt, or I say something and I'm now the place in the world with criticism.
Right.
It's like, where's that medium for us? Oh, God, she's storming outside. I'm
absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, so I think the middle ground for us is not caring. We have to not care.
How do you really go about that?
You have to get comfortable with yourself.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah, you got to get comfortable enough with yourself to know who you are, and it doesn't matter what anyone else says. It doesn't matter how they view you. It took me a while to get to that point, but I'm here now, and if I have to cry, I'm going to cry.
Well, all right, then.
I'm going to let you know, because you don't have to live with me. You don't wake up with me. You don't go to sleep with me, whether I'm with you or not. We're together. I'm still myself first. You don't live within me. So I have to deal with myself. I'm not going to torture myself and sabotage who I am just to make me look good to you. No, forget that. If I'm hurt, I'm hurt. I'm going to let you know. If I want to say F you, I'm going to say F you. I might not say it in that tone, but it's going to be very sophisticated. But you're going to know I cussed you out without cursing. You know, we have to be able to express ourselves. And if you don't like it, I understand, but you would want the same respect. I'm not going to hold back because it's me. It's my feelings. And if you don't like it, oh, well.
You have a right to.
I think when we are not honest with who we are, we dishonor who we are.
Yeah.
We minimize and we don't really look at our value. Because if I view myself as valuable, why am I going to minimize my feelings? Mm-hmm. Why am I going to ignore them? Why am I going to put your feelings and how you may feel above my own? And so learning to embrace and accept your reality and how you feel is your reality. Mm-hmm. Now, also understanding that I may feel a certain type of way, that does not make the situation true. If I feel that way. So for example, let's say I misinterpret something. I'm angry, I'm confused, I'm upset. My feelings that I'm feeling about this situation are real to me, but that does not mean that it validates the situation that made me or my perception about that situation real.
Right.
So I always use this analogy. Let's just say, you're dating someone and you think they're cheating on you. Well, you feel betrayed, you feel angry, you feel sad, you feel confused. But just because you feel that way and your feelings are true, doesn't mean that they're actually cheating on you. So we have to check our feelings to say, okay, what information validates the way I feel? I believe it's important to listen to your intuition, but we also have to ask ourselves, what proof validates the way that I feel? If they're not doing anything suspicious, if they're not showing you anything, if it's just a feeling that you have to question yourself, why do I have this feeling? Intuition is one thing, but sometimes it ain't our intuition that's telling
it's
us.
It's our sometimes.
Craziness telling us that. So,
past hurts.
Past experiences. Yeah. Or we want to self-sabotage.
Yeah.
But I mean, even self-sabotaging has a lot to do with people's inability to that's their inability to let go of their past, and they bring that with them, that baggage with them, mm-hmm. into their future relationships or current relationships.
Yeah. Right.
It doesn't make it easy, but you can't allow someone else to live in the ghost of your past. I mean, that's when you really have to heal in between relationships, as opposed to just taking a leap and going from one relationship to another, because you're seeking some level of gratification, mm-hmm. that should be coming from within.
Right.
Heal sister, heal.
Gotta girlfriend, heal. Gotta heal it, girlfriend. Yes, yes,
let
yes,
it go,
yes.
Cry it out, scream it out, smack something, I don't know, but let it go.
Cry it out, scream it out, work it out, all of the above.
Okay. So, you know, we're getting close to being, you know, it being time to wrap this up, but I want to just highlight, you know, you ladies, and just share what you have going on so people could kind of know where else they can connect with you, where people can support you all, you know, what is going on in your lives right now that's going to be coming. Hopefully, and crossing our fingers, after COVID or once COVID is stabilized.
Oh, well, there's a lot of training opportunities if you're a therapist. I have a racial reconciliation training workshop that happens. You can get 6.5 CEUs if you need CEUs. It's approved by the Florida board. So that is a training opportunity for racial reconciliation, how to deal with Black patients in a clinical setting. So that's one thing. Another thing I have going on, which is a mini series of the conference Girlfriend Heal. So I have the Wow Effect Girlfriend Heal, and it's basically the Wow Effect, but for girlfriends who are healing. And that's for anyone who's experienced any traumatic events, anyone who's healing from a relationship, anyone who's dealing with roadblocks or barriers that's preventing them from being able to heal and move forward and let go. So it's a 6-week program. It's an hour and a half long each week. And so this series starts September 16th. So if you are interested in that, you can visit. I'm not sure if we're doing social media handles right now, but I'll go ahead and say where you can find me at The Girlfriend Therapist. And it's in my, you can click the link in the bio to get more information. Also, segueing to Pam, Dr. Pam, we are doing a joint Girlfriend Heal conference in a city coming near you. We're just trying to make sure that while we're planning that we're staying abreast on what the developments of COVID are, because we don't want to prematurely plan something that won't be able to take place or happen. So this conference is going to be a day conference for you to come and enjoy and really get your healing in one day and take home some tips that you can continue to implement into your daily life to help you on your healing journey. So we're all about healing. We are all about moving forward and letting go and really creating a community of girlfriends who are healing, because we've been broken for too long. It's time for us to get the brick and mortar and get it together so that we can be a community of girlfriends who are healing.
You heal the women, you heal the nation.
Yeah, and it's actually called Girlfriend Heal, the Unapologetic Transformation Proclamation to Wow Conference. You are not going to want to meet that. It's going to be 6 cities starting in February every other month. We are both working out these cities, but you know, the main thing right now that we are being extra cautious about is COVID.
Yes.
And so that's kind of the halt on really putting some stuff out and making sure that we have enough space for social distancing. But it's definitely going to be a conference that you are not going to want to miss. So you can grab your girlfriends and come on out. And men, if you're not saying that you can't come, it might be Girlfriend Heal. But, you know, we got some men who are our girlfriends. So,
right.
Look, men have girlfriends too. If you need to, come on out, listen, be a part of the conference. We'll have male speakers also, because I think it's important to start bridging gaps and show that men and women can have successful, healthy, professional and personal relationships that are not based on intimacy. So yes, Girlfriend Heal, if you a man who got girlfriends that are good girlfriends, come on out with them, learn something about them. Learn how to also be a better friend to them. So, you know, you're a part of that healing and you're a part of that community that's going to help women heal. So don't think that just because it says Girlfriend Heal, you know, you can come out and make that proclamation, you know, that transformation proclamation as well. Louisa, what do you have going on?
First of all, I love that name, okay? I love the name of the girl. Oh my gosh. But, what do I have going on? By the end of the year, I should have a short film out. Maybe a short film and starting on a series by Halloween. We're working on it's supposed to be like a scary, I don't know if it's going to be a scary comedy, but it's going to be something like a scary movie. That's supposed to be out at least the first episode by Halloween.
Okay,
I'm not in it, but I'm a producer, director of that. The short film, I think we're going to get that out by the end of the year, so I'm in that.
Okay, producer.
What else?
Congratulations.
I'm also working on a couple of books, and I should have two children's books finished by the end of the year, and a poetry book. The poetry book is done, but I keep adding to it. And two children's books by the end of the year.
and also just doing other things. So we've been pretty busy. I'm sorry. And then also another show. It's a two series we're working on. One episode should be out by Halloween. The other one, I'm not sure when we're going to get that out. So it's two series and a short film and then the books.
All right. Well, you go, girl. Yes. Keep us posted so we can support and post and, make sure people tune in and just definitely keep us posted. I can't wait to hear more about this. And producing a film. Congratulations on that.
Thank you, Tina.
Congratulations on you having all of that going on. Like, how the hell? When are you sleeping here? Good gracious!
I know everybody. You guys are just so busy.
I feel so all over the place and overwhelmed. Okay, I have to. Pam, you know we were supposed to go to LA, right? So what I did, we canceled LA, so we won't be going to LA. You know, I had blocked off that time because I was going to be on the West Coast. So what I did was when I canceled the trip, I did not cancel that block off time. Hey. So I can catch back up with me because it's all about emotional boundaries. I'm getting to my emotional tapped out limit. So that's going to be my reset so I can refocus because I am way behind on my book. I have not written in 3 weeks. Oh, bad wow. Me. I've been so overwhelmed and had so much stuff going on that I told myself I'm starting back this week because I need to do that. But life has been getting in the way. Good in a good way. You know, I've just had a lot of stuff to get out. And so I just want to encourage all of the listeners. You know, we talked about earlier listening to your body. Mm-hmm. I really have to listen to my body when I start to feel overwhelmed, because one thing I don't want to have happen and I don't want to have happen to you is that your body hijacks and says, well, you're going to sit down and you get sick and you're wondering why it's taking you so long to get over something. That's stress.
Oh, it will do it. Yeah. Believe me, it happened to me. It will.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, 100%. So, you know, for me, I have quite a bit going on between constantly blog writing right now. I am, you know, thankfully I did a change of environment. So I'm in Alabama right now. And so I've had the pleasure of swimming a lot and just taking in, you know, lake view and just having a different scenery, working full time. And I have not gotten as much writing, personal writing done as I could, but I have made some small strides, and I always say some small progress is still progress, and so I'm thankful for that. I like you, Tina. There's so many. I'm doing so many things that, you know, trying to write two books at the same time and also write 11, 12, and 13 blogs, you know, every single week for another company because I do own another company.
Ooh, good grief.
Yeah, but, you know, it happens, and then, you know, you have media, and I'm in the process of trying to set up my little speaking series and just even with getting the First Question Happy Hours all underway. I feel like I don't want to become overwhelmed, so I don't mind putting some stuff on the back burner, and if it means that my writing will have to hold off until the weekend, I'm okay with that, but I am trying to at least make some significant progress to it all the time. My real goal is just being able to take some time and dedicate the same amount of time as I do to blog every week from writing my book. So I next go around, you know, if they send me, you know, if the company I'm working for sends me a bunch, I might just be like, okay, I'm gonna have to pause it so that I can get some other stuff done. But I do need to take a reset time.
It's coming up
soon, but I mean, the biggest thing right now I have going on is everything is for 21. The two books is for 21. I have the conference in 21 with you, Tina. I also have a book tour with my sister called Soul Sister, the Whole Sister. Our tour city. So it's, you know, you constantly find yourself being busy and adding more. I did put one of my other projects to back burner for right now. So instead of releasing in spring of 21, I might do it in spring of 22. That gives me time to focus on personal healing. Mm-hmm. And in some kind of way, I feel like we're all healing. I think our world needs healing from all of the trauma that we're constantly seeing. And what we think that we're not affected by it, but we really are. If you
mm-hmm.
and you you see a police officer and you feel some kind of anxiety, you need to keep it.
Right. So you really
have that mindset that there is nothing wrong when we have some level of anxiety. And so I want to make sure that I'm mindful of my emotional and mental health as well as my physical. So I just I'm learning how to, you know, since things are a little slower here in Alabama, not in DC, I'm really being able to think about my future and what I want. One of the things that I said I'm going to do is start making more time for myself and sleep at night and time for friends.
Yeah.
Checking on friends that I had not had a chance to think about and getting to a place where I don't feel so scattered.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I have those, a lot of projects going on, but I have to be methodical about them. And, you know, I've talked about being on a panel, talking about whether all lives matter or Black Lives Matter. And I'm excited about that because it's one of the things that I'm most passionate about, giving the state of our world, not even world, the state of the United States. But then, you know, other people in the world are getting pissed off just like, you know, the people in the United States are. So, you know, we're going to support one another. I'm excited about doing things with you. I'm excited about this podcast with you, lady. And here again, I can't wait to see this short film that you're going to be in, Melissa.
I know. On top of that, I've been doing all these crazy challenges, y'all.
Yeah.
Make sure you give us the information so that we can watch the film.
Yeah, so really quick, Louisa, where can people find you at? Cortina, you already let people know.
You can find me at on Facebook at The Blue Phoenix and on Instagram at The Blue Phoenix Hill.
Okay, and then for me, of course, you can find me on all platforms at I Am Dr. P. Gurley, and you can follow Perspiration Happy Hour at Perspiration HH on Twitter and on Instagram and Facebook at Perspiration Happy Hour. We are on, you tune in on all major platforms. And here again, this is season 3, and gosh, but this is what, 13 episodes in. I think this is like, wow, that we've been able to accomplish, 13 episodes at this point.
It's really cool.
Yay!
And I think, what is it, I'm trying to think, it was just like some kind of little milestone, which showed that I think it was probably the 50th episode posted not long ago. I think it was in the last one, so 50 episodes and, over 5,000 downloads. I think this is, it's coming a long way, and I'm very proud of what we've accomplished.
Yes.
All right, so with that, we ended another episode, and I hope you ladies have a really great week.
You too.
I know. And so, you know what, everybody tune in, continue to tune in. And I know before we said we were going to have the episode post with Andrew Stone. That is in the works right now. It's taking some editing and whatnot. Again, that's a whole complicated story, but we will definitely have clips of that conversation with Angie probably coming out really, really soon. So stay tuned. Have a good one and stay blessed. Cheers.
All right. Cheers.